Need a mulligan in your current banking relationship? Tee it high and let it fly with Republic Bank of Chicago's business banking solutions. Driving Chicago business for more than 60 years. Republic Bank of Chicago, banking beyond expectations.
Broadcasting live from the Chicago Board of Trade, this is the home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Captain Jay Hood, WMVP, WTBC, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Sports radio station.
Checkmate 16, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
All right, shot or no shot. We do it every day at 8 o'clock. It's a Daniel N. Zetterman creation. We've just taken it to a different level. Sorry, Danny. Here is Nick Palazzolo.
Good. Good morning, boys, on a Bears Dr. Pepper Football Friday. How we feeling?
Good, man. We're good. It's a football Friday. The weekend's here. It's a holiday weekend. I have family together. So, yeah, from my seat, all is good. Shay?
Everything's good here. Nick, I don't want to step on your toes, but typically I do shot or no shot. There's some news that just broke related to the Bears. May I have the first shot or no shot?
Absolutely.
All right, so from Field Yates, Bears have restructured contracts of guard Joe Tooney and defensive end Dio Odengbo and linebacker TJ Edwards. It creates about $17 million in 2026 salary cap space. Josh Sweat has a cap hit of $16.5 million.
Oh, get it done.
Shot or no shot, they're trading for Josh Sweat.
There's a shot. Absolute shot. Come on now. A, he's really good player. B, we have a need for it. And C, it will drive these lunatics in Wisconsin crazy because they all think they're getting him.
No shot.
Why?
Because the Bears were already a negative $13 million, so this just is some accounting, and it makes them positive before week one.
Do you have to be positive before week one?
Yeah, I think so. Because they're per Spotrac, they're negative 13. Over the cap has them as a negative 12. So this only gets them to the $4 or $5 million positive, probably for some in-season maneuvering.
Unless you restructure Josh Sweat, who's only 29 years old.
Which they would have the option to do if they acquired him. Some other people think this also could be a move to cut Kyler Gordon, because I believe Kyler's cap hit is $17 million this year. I don't know if I feel like that really makes sense, though. You're going to pay Kyler the money regardless. He's not on the 53-man roster. Like, I think you just keep him in the room. Best case, he plays for you this year. Worst case, you put him on long-term IR and you cut him at the end of the season.
Well, and even if he is on IR, couldn't you get like some kind of cap credit because he's on IR and not playing, probably because of an insurance policy?
That I don't know how any of that works. It would have to be contractual stuff. I don't know. But I know he has injury guarantees in the deal. Like, he gets money next year if he's on the roster after a certain date with an injury guarantee. So I don't know how all of that would look. You might save something. I don't think you'd save it all.
Nick, you just broke the heart of millions.
It's all right.
You came in with the sad tone, too.
Yeah, because I knew exactly what I was.
It's not going to work, fellas.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. All right, shot or no shot.
I was just trying to dream, man. All I was trying to do was dream.
Well, because in the break, I went to Jaymore. I was like, this is not breaking news. I was like, because then I was going to start off shot or no shot with it. And then I looked at the cab. I was like, yeah, this is going to break the heart. I was like, I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Let us dream, Nick.
Sorry. Captain Jay Hood is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, the destination for your next Chevy, Acura, Toyota, and now Cadillac, Buick, GMC. Find your advantage at Advantage Dealer Group. Shot or no shot?
All right, let's get to it.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with the White Sox. Luis Castillo, really rough start. Waskar Brazoban on the IL. Brenton Doyle is Brenton Doyle. Joey Bart is hurt, and he only played maybe two games for the Sox. Shot or no shot? The Chicago White Sox are a better baseball team today than they were before the trade deadline.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say no shot.
A better team. No, that's a no shot. They're not a better team.
I think they're the same team.
They're the same team. They had an opportunity to become a better team, and they chose to prospect hug.
I would say, if anything, I would say they're a little worse, because I think Castillo, you have to pitch him every 5 days with the way this rotation is. You can't hide him. At least Sir Anthony Dominguez, I could just stick in the bullpen. If things weren't going well, he didn't have to come into a game. He could have been mop-up duty. But with this, every 5 days, I'm throwing a gas can on the mound. And I know he's a gas can. And I have him next year. No, I don't feel like they're better at all. I could fix the problems in the offseason. And sometimes that's where you see, like, Cap, if I told you not moving top 10 prospects at the deadline, and the result of that is this gets muddied with a work stoppage. But if the result of that is you move some of them at the winter meetings, and instead of being the team trading Garrett Crochet, you're the team acquiring a Garrett Crochet because you held on to your pieces, and now you can make the bigger fish move in the offseason, much like the Cubs did with Edward Cabrera. Even though that move didn't work out necessarily, it was easier to acquire him in the offseason than it would have been at the deadline. If that's the payoff, but I think at that point you're misplaying the hand on there being a work stoppage and potentially no baseball next year.
Well, here's the thing. The thing is that, as I keep telling you, tomorrow is promised to no one. We don't know if we're having baseball next year. And if we do have baseball, there's no guarantee that the White Sox team plays as well as it is today or is as healthy as it is today. And the same goes for every team, not just the White Sox. You might wake up next year and go, what happened? Well, you got 12 guys on the injured list. Just ask the Cubs about that. You have no idea what the future holds. You have an opportunity right now in a wide-open American League with no sign of Aaron Judge, no sign of Giancarlo Stanton. They've got good pitching. That they are beatable. You can get them. There is no team in the AL where you go, well, we got no shot there. We're going to get crushed. You're competitive with everybody. You had a chance. I think they made a calculated gamble that they could not give up any of their elite prospects. And no one was saying you should trade Rochelowski. I know you can't by rule, but you know my point. Or Caleb Bonimer. You had other guys at positions where you already have good players, like Billy Carlson at shortstop, that you could have put in deals and gotten competent starting pitching in here and taken a shot.
Yeah, again, like you said, I never wanted the Sox to go give up Caleb Bonimer. I never wanted them to touch really any of their top five prospects, but I thought they could have dealt more inside the top 10 to get real pitching. And the further we get from the trade deadline, the more it reminds me of another team in the division last year. Go ask a Tigers fan how trading for Charlie Morton and Chris Paddock felt, thinking they'd be good in 2026. You wake up, you're terrible. So it is like next year, right? Next year is never promised. And this time especially, because there might not be a season, period, next year. And I read some of the article you talked about earlier, Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers. Dude, they aren't talking to the upper class of player here. It's anonymous pitcher in arbitration saying salary cap is an absolute no-go. It's bad for the game.
Yeah, and if you look at Robbie Ray was the guy I thought the White Sox should have gone and gotten. He ended up with the Arizona Diamondbacks. San Diego Padres. And his last start, 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. Start before that, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs. Start before that, 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. Start before that, he only went 4 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs. And then he did not have a good start, his first start right after the trade. But the last 4 of them have been outstanding. Outstanding. And they chose not to pay the price to get him. The Padres, they just keep finding a way to add talent.
Luis Castillo in 6 starts has gained the White Sox negative half a win in terms of war. In 26 1/3 innings, he has given up 37 hits, 22 runs, and all of that to a 7.52 ERA. So shot or no shot, Luis Castillo does not make the White Sox first round postseason roster.
It's a shot for me.
Absolute shot.
Especially if it's a best of three. If they slip out of the bye and they end up playing in a wild card series, you cannot have Luis Castillo on your roster.
And Venable said last night that they have to start treating games, the regular season games, like postseason games, and using openers for guys like Castillo, just because they need to find a way to better, you know, attack how they, you know, to use a Craig Council, how they get 27 outs.
I just wouldn't use Castillo, period, if it were me. But right. We don't get to live in that world because they traded for him.
Yeah, going to the other side of town, the Cubs beat the Brewers and split the series, so they didn't gain any ground in the division. So they'd essentially need a sweep-heavy September and a Brewers collapse at the same time to win the NL Central. Shot or no shot, the Cubs division chances are over, and Silvy will not be running from Wrigley to the Chicago Board of Trade building in a jockstrap and a tank top.
Yeah, their chance to win the division went by the boards when they blew two games that they let in this week series. And then losing two walk-offs to Seattle, and then losing two to Arizona. Like, if you collect a bunch of those, I'm not saying everyone, you're right in the race. You're right there. Nope. Couldn't get it done.
Yeah, it's a shot. For me, last weekend, it ended when they lost 2-3 to the Reds.
Another series.
I think if you wanted to be a serious threat to the Brewers to win this division, you had to sweep the Reds and go into this series with some momentum and give yourself a shot. You would have been five back, four back, maybe. An opportunity to just take the division. Now, forget it. Eight games back at the start of September. It would require a historic collapse on the part of the Brewers. And they just... I don't see the Brewers losing like that. They've never lost like that. Not under Council, not under Pat Murphy. They just win.
And so, by the way,
they're not. Cubs are done.
Yes, they are done in the division. And just to add a little something to the other discussion we were having, my friend Riley Taylor just texted me and said, "Don't forget, Robbie Ray was traded in the same flipping division. They didn't have any problem helping out a division foe. Here, you can have him, San Diego. Just give us something for him."
Well,
and they did.
Well, Buster Posey also has no idea what he's doing in San Francisco.
Well, maybe, but Robbie Ray was in a walk year. Better to get something than nothing.
For sure. For sure. Sticking with shot or no shot, if you're watching us on YouTube, you see the video of all of PCA and his friends, basically all of the Chicago superstars at Wrigley supporting each other. Simple shot or no shot. We are in the peak of Chicago sports superstars.
In the peak of, well, I would, no, we haven't hit the peak yet. Like when Caleb potentially wins an MVP, throws for 4,000 yards, when Pete is crowned the MVP, when Caleb Wilson has played an NBA game and looks like a superstar over a full couple seasons, then we'll be in the peak. We are riding a wave that hasn't peaked yet, is how I'd answer that. So no shot.
I'm trying to think if there's an era where there were this many. It's like Caleb Wilson, I can't call a superstar yet. He hasn't played an NBA minute. Modest, I don't think, is a superstar. Bedard is, but it's also like he's on a last place team every year. We got to see the team get good before we can really place that on him. I'm going to say no shot, but I think the quantity of young players who have superstar potential, I don't think any city has it better than Chicago right now.
Correct.
And I don't think you could find one in America that has this level of young player with superstar potential.
Well, who does LA have?
They
have veteran players.
They have veteran superstars. Like, the LA's got star power on lock. Between the Rams and the Dodgers, basically every all-pro or all-star is in LA, but they're all veterans.
They have Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, you could take a Yamamoto. Who do they have on the Lakers? Anybody? Austin Reeves. He's not a superstar. He's a good player. Who else?
Not really.
Luka.
Luka.
They got Luka. No, Kawhi Leonard, even though
he's leaving.
Able to get him there.
He's going to Toronto, though.
He's probably gone.
And, like, I'm saying, if you took every city in America, sports stars 25 and under, Chicago has to rank number one.
I would think so. Boston has Drake May. Roman Anthony's been hurt, but he's a great player. Yeah.
But the Celtics are old.
Right. Jason Tatum's not a young star anymore.
No. I'm saying 25 and under, there can't be a city in America that has superstars on the level of Chicago.
No, there can't be. Think of one. I can't think of one. So, there you go.
All right, let's move on to a little football because it is a Dr. Pepper Bears Friday. Last year, the Bears were the first team in the Super Bowl era to have three rookies each hit 650 or more scrimmage yards last year. So I ask you, shot or no shot, all three of those will go over 900 scrimmage yards next season. Those players would be Kyle Manungai, Colston Loveland, Luther Burden.
I'm going to say no shot because I don't think Manungai gets there. Banged up right now. He doesn't really impact the receiving game. It feels like Swift is going to be mostly their bell cow.
Here were their scrimmage yards last year. Manungai, 947. Loveland, 711. Burden, 689.
Maybe Manungai's closer then.
What was Manungai's number again?
947 last year.
When's he going to play?
It feels high to me, too. Also consider how he had games. What did he have in the Cincinnati game? 200 yards?
Something like that. It was pretty high.
He got it in bulk in one game where Swift wasn't available. And Burden and Loveland hadn't become what they were at the time. There's a lot of mouths to feed on this offense, and it feels like Swift is going to be more of their bell cow back, especially with Kyle banged up right now. I don't know that Kyle gets there. And also, Rome will be back. There's so many mouths to feed.
There's a lot of talent, man.
I can see Burden getting there. I can see Loveland getting there. I can see Rome getting there. I have a harder time with Kyle getting back to 900.
Yeah, Manungai's splits were 783 rushing, 164 receiving. That's how his numbers
are. I got to know when he plays. Is he playing in the Carolina game? I don't know. They didn't IR him, so it's not like a long-term thing. It's not 4 weeks. I just don't know. I know Austin Booker was back on the field. Shea doesn't like him, but I do.
It's not true. It's not even true.
Oh, my God. You've denigrated him.
That's not even true.
It's not true,
you
Cap.
Didn't even know who he was when they drafted him, and I was the guy who said they should have taken him instead of Bajan. You are lying through your teeth.
Taking him instead of Bajan. Bajan was an undrafted free agent.
He was one of Shea's guys. I'm sorry, not Bajan. I was Torrey Taylor, the punter.
Well, it's funny how it worked out. They got both of them.
It did, and I ended up happy. But I remember when they took Taylor, I think I texted you, and I said I would have liked Austin Booker here, the kid out of Kansas. I've always liked Austin Booker. I'm just not going to sit here and tell you I think he's getting 7 sacks. I think it's expecting too much.
Okay, what is give me the over-under number. We can have another bet.
He wasn't even on the top 30 sack projections on the Seth Walder article on ESPN.
Okay, I don't care. I don't know Seth.
The lowest I think there was 4.5. You want to go 6.5?
No. Kids, I would think 5.5 is a better number.
Oh, okay. See? Building in an edge for himself. We'll discuss this more off the air and come to an agreement.
Okay. You got it. Done deal.
Because I've never said it's a bet I want to make. It's not like I'm sitting here saying Austin Booker's not going to get to it. I just can't tell you I'm expecting it. I don't want him to go under 5.5 sacks, Cap. I'm not rooting against Austin Booker. I don't want you to put me in a position where then I have to root against Austin Booker. So yeah, I actually don't want to make the bet.
Because yesterday when Charlie was dining with a Chicago Bears player at Chicago Cut, did you know that?
I did know that.
That player said, hey, why does Shea Norling not like Austin Booker? Anyway, Nick?
That's not true. You just keep saying things that aren't true. Yeah, we got to go around the NFL, Cappy.
All right, around the National Football League and more on Shea's hatred of Austin Booker. It's all coming up on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 6 to 9, ESPN Chicago.
Jay Moore.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
All right, time to go around the National Football League on a Football Friday, a Dr. Pepper Football Friday. It's a Shane Norlin creation. Here's Nick.
Gentlemen, if you missed it, the Chicago Bears cleared $17 million in cap space by restructuring a motivated Dio Odengbo, Joe Tooney, and TJ Edwards. That now gets them $4 or $5 million of little wiggle room for the regular season.
My only worry with this would be the money. It's not like the money disappears. It gets pushed into next season. Does this make it harder to move on from Dio Odengbo at the end of the year?
Well, let's see how he plays.
Maybe.
I would think they would move on, but let's see how he plays. I texted my friend Field Yates at the break, and I said, great salary news on the Bears. Is that to acquire a player like Josh Sweat, or did they need to do this to become salary cap compliant? He wrote back just now. I would guess it's cap compliance and in-season budget to make a move. Hope you're well. Vibes are high in Chicago. So, doesn't sound like Josh Sweat is at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix right now,
yet.
Flying to Lake Forest.
Not yet. I do worry a little bit about moving money into the future on Dio Odengbo, though.
Yeah, because who knows exactly? Like, we hope that, you know, Dennis Allen and Poles said that they're just a little scheme changes. So I think Dio's going to play more outside than inside last year than he did last season. But who knows? Honestly, anything we get out of Dio is good, because last year was just kind of a dud. Anything you can get.
They paid him pass rusher money, and he's not a pass rusher.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
That would have to change to make. But if you make the decision more difficult next year, I don't totally love that. But this is the cost of doing business. You got to be cap compliant.
Yes, you do.
100%. The Athletic released a NFL Decision Makers 2026 survey with MVP predictions and a bunch of other things. They surveyed 20 personnel executives, head coaches, high-ranking executives, coordinators, and other coaches. This is the fifth year they have done this. So 20 high-ranking officials throughout the NFL. Who will be the NFL MVP?
I mean, I think Caleb's in the discussion. I absolutely believe he's in that discussion. Does that mean he's going to win it? No. If you made me make a bet today, I'd pick Josh Allen.
This is what executives answered this?
Executives, coaches, coordinators. It was kind of a mixed bag. There was 20 total.
I would guess I think Cap's on to. I would guess they said Josh Allen. It's kind of the easy pick. I wonder if there's any Justin Herbert love.
There is no Justin Herbert love, but a lot of Josh Allen. Josh Allen got 8 votes, and he won. Stafford with 3. Burrow with 3. Bijan Robinson with 2. Dak Prescott with 2. Lamar and Mahomes 1. Caleb did not receive a vote.
Bijan. It's good we know how Matt Ryan and Ian Cunningham voted.
Who? I thought it's Ian Cunningham shown on there. I never heard Matt mention.
I said both of them.
I just count Ian Cunningham. He's running the football operation.
Next question. Who is the best quarterback on a rookie contract? Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix are your options.
I would guess
Williams.
I would guess they answered Drake May.
They did indeed answer Drake May. 12 of the 20 said Drake May.
It's so interesting because I keep hearing that all the executives would draft Caleb number one overall Caleb number one overall instead of May.
If the draft was held again today, overwhelming majority of executives would take Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's why the overwhelming majority of those who were polled say that Drake is the best quarterback on a rookie deal. I find that very interesting. Okay.
Caleb,
if they had the draft
votes
again, if any idiot went to the podium and took Drake May, they should lose their GM job.
It's very interesting, though. You keep telling me all these executives believe Caleb is better, but yet the executive polls come out and Drake May keeps winning them. I find it very interesting. Okay. It's almost like you don't know what the executives think.
May had 12 votes, Caleb had 5, Daniels had 2, Bo Nix had 1. In their little write-up, one head coach said, after this season, it will be Caleb. And then another head coach who voted said Daniels still has the most true talent of any of the quarterbacks listed.
Okay.
I disagree, and I do agree with the first head coach. I'm just looking into the future. That's what the exercise is.
Right.
You're just based on result where he didn't play well in the postseason either. So, yeah, I think it's pretty clear. Caleb is the number one guy.
Who didn't play well in the postseason?
Drake.
Oh. Caleb threw 5 interceptions in the playoffs.
It's fine. We'll see after this year.
Who is the best fourth quarter coach in the NFL? 19 responses on
this. This is interesting because I have to almost remove my own bias. I don't love McVay in the fourth quarter of games.
Andy Reid? But he's got the generational gift of Patrick Mahomes.
Is it Ben Johnson?
Johnson received votes. He is not the leading vote getter. The leading vote getter is, there's two of them. It's two head coaches. There are 6 head coaches total, a defensive coordinator, and an offensive coordinator.
So I'm going to say that Andy Reid got votes, Sean McVay got votes, Kyle Shanahan got votes.
Shanahan did not get votes.
Yeah, I don't think he's a very good fourth quarter coach. I don't love McVay in the fourth quarter, though, either. If you tell me McVay won this, I'd be shocked. Like,
McVay did win. He was tied with the Super Bowl winning head coach from a year ago, Mike McDonald.
I find it kind of silly on the McVay front, because like McVay had a horse bleep game plan against the Bears. He did. We all talked about it in the game the day after. They survived that game more than anything.
And I think McVay even said it after the game. He said, I don't know what I was doing.
We were surprised by him. Yeah, he had a terrible game plan. And sometimes late game decision making. Like, I love Sean McVay as a coach. I'm not denigrating him. I think he's one of the 3 best coaches in the NFL. But occasionally, I think in close games and late, some of his timeout usage has been suspect. Some of the play calling has been suspect. He's very conservative on fourth down calls. I don't love him in the fourth quarter, but that's just a me thing.
So the way this shook out, 19 responses. McDonald and McVay both won with 4. Mike Vrabel and Andy Reid had 3. Ben Johnson and Josh McDaniels with 2. Steve Spagnuolo and Sean Payton both receiving a singular vote.
I don't get Vrabel. I don't get McDaniels. If I had the vote, I would probably say Ben Johnson.
He's pretty damn good, man.
And the last one. So every voter, the 18 executives and head coaches and coordinators had 3 votes each for this next question. Who are the 3 best offensive play callers in the NFL not named Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan?
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson for sure. Sean Payton.
I wonder, it might just be Sean Payton and Andy Reid, but I wonder if Liam Cohen got himself in this conversation at all last year.
He did.
Definitely possible.
So Ben Johnson ran away with it with 16
votes.
That's
not surprising at all.
Number 2 was Andy Reid with 7, Josh McDaniels with 6, Liam Cohen and Clint Kubiak.
Oh, Clint Kubiak's
5.
A great call. Clint Kubiak had a great year with Seattle last year.
And getting 4 votes, Sean Payton, Shane Steichen, and Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell with 2, and then Brian Schottenheimer got a singular vote.
Shoddy. Great. All right, is that it?
That's it. Let's go to the folder.
We will go to the Friday folder, brought to you by Lou Malnati's. That is coming up next.
You're listening to Cap'n J. Hood on ESPN Chicago.
Need a mulligan in your current banking relationship? Tee it high and let it fly with Republic Bank of Chicago's business banking solutions. Driving Chicago business for more than 60 years. Republic Bank of Chicago. Banking beyond expectations.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap'n J. Hood experience on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Cause it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Friday Folder brought to you by our great partners at Lou Malnati's. It's a Friday. My friends tell me, Friday Cap, that's a pizza day. That's right. LouMalnati's.com for a location near you and a tip from Uncle Cappy. Get your pizza if you're taking it home. Uncut. Cut it yourself. It stays perfect. LouMalMatis.com.
That's what my family did last night.
There you go. The best.
All right, let's move on to the Friday folder. We are going to go to the state of Florida, where Tiger Woods had a court date, and he got his driver's license suspended for 5 years. And this was the state's attorney in the press conference after it. If you're watching us on YouTube, you will be able to see him get a question, a very important question about the Tiger Woods situation.
Oh my God, that's a great question. Actually, I think you could. Can you drive a golf? You know what? You got me. We'll have to look into that. I'll get back to you. I know you cannot drive a golf cart while impaired on the roads because it is a vehicle. But I don't. My gut reaction is going to be no. But great question. And if you give Christine your information, I'll get back to you.
So, should Tiger Woods be able to drive a golf cart?
On the golf course?
Correct.
Yes.
The state's attorney, that is the state attorney in the great state of Florida. He had no idea.
Is he golfing by himself? Because if you're golfing in a foursome, just somebody else to drive the cart.
Agree. Right? Yeah. But I don't have a problem.
Like, Tiger's going to spin you out into a pond.
For sure.
How fast can you get a golf cart going?
Dude, you, yeah.
I've driven a billion of them.
Ask Waddle, he's got one.
You see the videos of these bleep holes that go out to golf courses and go nuts with the golf cart, spinning it around on the fairways, falling off of bridges. That's Tiger driving a golf cart.
Now, again, if you said he's going to take a golf cart on the city streets, no, can't use it.
What an incredible question, by the way. Like, can he play bumper cars?
No,
that's pretty funny.
It was incredible. And the fact that he didn't know, I think, is a little more concerning because, you know, you have your license suspended for 5 years, you know. But anyway, let's move on to the great university that has been tainted in recent years, and that is the University of North Carolina, because Mike Lombardi is out as their general manager, and there was a scathing article deep diving this for what is actually happening in Chapel Hill. There are accusations about Steve Belichick doing drugs in the facility. Steve Belichick is on medical leave.
Rehab.
Love
so
to
he
know
says.
What that is.
Yeah, medical leave spelled R-E-H-A-B.
Allegedly.
And also, lawyers hired to conduct the investigation are also questioning people about whether defensive coordinator Steve Belichick used drugs on the job or provided drugs to at least one player, and separately, about whether a member of UNC's recruiting staff had a sexual relationship with a player. People familiar with the investigation told the WRAL in Raleigh. The lawyers also asked about possible sexual relationships between assistant coaches and recruiting staff.
Shocker. Do you mean things might not be up on the up and up as far as sexual relationships go at North Carolina? I almost can't believe it. Knock me over with a feather. What, are you kidding?
I worked in college athletics. I mean, it is a bastion of testosterone and all of that, but wow. When it rains, it pours around there. But when you hire Mike Lombardi, you get a bad dude. You do. And what has he ever done that you go, that guy's successful? Do you know what they were paying him, Shay? What do you think he was making as the GM at North Carolina?
You tell
me.
It's
not exactly like it's Alabama now.
$5 million?
He was getting $1.5 a year, 3-year guaranteed deal. He gets zero severance. And out.
Now he stepped down, yeah. I mean, it feels like it should be a bigger story than it is because it's crazy. You got reports here, Steve Belichick's giving pills to players, at least one player. Steve Belichick's using drugs himself amid being missing with a, quote, medical incident. And I'm not reporting that it's rehab, but it's looks like, feels like, sounds like, dude, they're hiding this kid in rehab. that
he's not a kid. He's 39.
That's what I'm saying. But you get my point, Cap. It's like if you're reading between the lines on any of this, and then there's another report that Steve Belichick's wife was calling Jordan nuts, bat bleep crazy, accused her of twisting Belichick's mind, Bill Belichick. That you have to choose sides between either your family or Jordan Hudson, that she's like this titan ruling over everything that happens in North Carolina, and now all this comes out. It's a mess, dude. It's a total mess.
Yeah,
and it makes you wonder, how bad is TCU that they lost to this team?
Yeah, that's a hell of a win for Belichick. Oh, I mean, that is a big, big win, because almost every buddy of mine said, oh, yeah, I tagged a TCU money line in my parlays. Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
Moving on to something else. This was from a couple years ago, but started resurfacing yesterday. I saw it. Reese Witherspoon was chosen as a jury foreperson after jurors thought she went to law school simply because she was in the movie Legally Blonde.
Yeah, my wife loves that movie. Every time I'm scanning through, there's nothing on and I can't watch another episode of Forensic Files or Top Gun Maverick, and we're just scanning through. Oh, Legally Blonde's on. Put it on. I'm like, hun, really? Please? Yeah, she loves that movie.
It's a better movie than Draft Day, so.
No, it is not. Yep.
If you held up Draft Day and Legally Blonde, Legally Blonde every time. If I have to watch only one of those two movies, it's Legally Blonde.
No, it's Draft
Day. 100%.
It's not Draft Day. Draft Day sucks, Cap.
Thank you.
Draft Day is an outstanding movie.
Just an awful film.
The only reason Draft Day is good is because of the meme-worthy content about how bad it is and how us, the common person, can relate it to fantasy football.
They turned the Cleveland Browns into the University of North Carolina. You got Kevin Costner sleeping with the capologist. This kind of thing can't happen.
Wow.
What else, Nick?
Now, Shay's favorite topic of the last couple months. The Athletic finds the Diana Russini-Mike Vrabel ties violated newsroom standards. Shay?
Love this. Finish what they found on the Diana Russini story. Violated newsroom standards, but there was no evidence of bias in any of her reporting on Mike Vrabel.
Correct.
I always love, Cap, nowadays, you get to investigate yourself and then tell people, nothing's wrong here. Like Michigan gets to investigate themselves and then put, we don't want a written report. We'll call a number to get the information on the reporting.
The outlet's editorial director for standards and editorial quality, who is leading this investigation, Mike Semel. As for Rossini's coverage of Vrabel, Semel wrote, quote, I have not found a clear link to conclude that Russini used her platform to help promote Vrabel or help his teams during her time at the Athletic.
Uh-huh.
That said, there are examples of Russini writing glowingly of Vrabel that in hindsight are awkward or even uncomfortable, end quote.
So what would we call that? Could it be, I don't know, bias?
Well,
she was she was the first person to talk about the A.J. Brown trade. She was the first person to talk about the Julio Jones trade back when he was in Tennessee. Boy, what are we talking about? She was on a boat with him. She's 8 months pregnant. She's sending him Spotify playlists.
And in a bar making out.
They're caught in a bar making out. They're caught in a Tennessee casino together. Don't tell me what you're putting on my head is rain when I know it isn't. We found nothing wrong with the way she reported on this. Oh, really? She just happened to be the first newsbreaker on two trades that hadn't happened yet. Uh-huh.
By the way, did you see that she said, I'm going to come back to the journalism world? And it's sounding like it might be with Barstool.
It's the everybody feels
most
like
obvious
it's,
Barstool hire of all time.
It feels like my thing is, I don't think she can do anything serious anymore. Because how could you ever?
It's going to be a joke.
How could you have the trust of your audience that you are a serious reporter after what's gone down here?
The best part about this report is the guy leading this investigation reviewed 903 stories, 77 videos, and analyzed 204 podcast episodes that had Russini's byline or something that she contributed to.
Can you imagine having to do that thing?
Cappy, I'm going to charge you with sitting down and listening to 300 episodes of the Diana Russini podcast.
Oh, my God. Hey, honey, you want to go to get pizza with the kids? No, I got to watch four more Rossini videos.
And we need a recap of each one you watch.
Yeah. Welcome into the recap of Diana Rossini talking about Mike Vrabel.
Imagine, like, the squirming you would do at all the points where she's, like, talking about her husband in insulting way and knowing that she's with Vrabel. Or the interview, the great sideline interview, I think it was when he was in Tennessee, maybe it was with New England, where she's asking Mike Vrabel about his wife.
Unbelievable. I mean, the whole thing is just so distasteful.
Violated newsroom standards, but please, guys, there's nothing to see here. After we investigated ourselves, we promise, there's nothing to see here. I'm sure.
I just can't wait for when she does come back to the sports media world. That first news story she's going to break, it literally might break Twitter.
Oh, man. By the way, speaking of podcasts.
Never mind. I won't make the joke I was going to make. Go ahead.
Speaking of podcasts, so I was in the car for like 6 hours the other day. I had to drive from up here down to a funeral for my dear friend Al Fine, who passed away. And then I drove all the way back in traffic. So it was like 6 hours of driving on Monday. You know what I listened to? The Ippy Mizuhara ESPN 30 for 30 podcast about the gambling with Shohei Ohtani. Dude, it is phenomenal. It is so well done. And Tisha Thompson, didn't know her before this. She did the interviews, and she is the star of this podcast. She interviews, and you hear it. Her interviewing Ippy Mizuhara, who's now in jail for 5 years. I don't know when he'll get out with good credit for good time and all that. But it is awesome. Everyone should listen to it. It's really well done.
After taking down the Clippers, have you seen what Pablo Torre's encore is?
No.
He's got the Dodgers in his sights.
Oh, my God.
There was something about Magic Johnson giving Mark Walter like $350 million to help with the purchase of the Dodgers. Yeah. Not good.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen people saying they're talking about like taking money from life insurance annuities or something. I'll have to watch it and see. But when Pablo Torre gets you in his sights.
All right. You done there, Nick?
Oh, yeah. That's the Friday folder.
All right, brought to you by the great people at Lou Malnati's. It's a Friday. It's a pizza day. LouMalnati's.com for a location near you. We have the Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Cut of the day next.
ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, that is a wrap for the Cap and Jay Hood Show. This portion of Cap and Jay Hood brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Open for breakfast 7 to 10:30 Monday through Friday. Brunch Saturdays, the best patio experience in Chicago dining history. Check them out on LaSalle, north side of the Chicago River. A lot of fun, Shay, man.
Cap, you got to be careful what you say, man. We got you again.
What'd I do? You're taking it home, uncut. Cut it yourself. It stays perfect. Get your You're taking it home, uncut. Cut it yourself. It stays perfect. You guys are ridiculous, man. You guys are something else.
Have a great holiday, Cappy.
Great holiday weekend, everybody. Jay Moore, Nick, Shay, we all love you. Thank you for listening. Take that from Chicago. Get your You're taking it home, uncut. Cut it yourself. It stays perfect.
Cap'n Jay Hood, morning 6 to 9.
This is how it should be done.
ESPN Chicago.